All right, we're holding on Nun Amud Beis by the Mishnah near the bottom. Mishnah says, Makadish Isha Uvita, somebody is Makadish together a woman and her daughter, which you can't, once you're Makadish a woman, her daughter is also to you, and vice versa. Or Isha V'Achosa, or her and her sister, where again, as long as the woman's alive, the woman you were Makadish is alive, her sister is also to you. Ka'achas, at the same time, Rashi gives the example you said, both of you are Makadish to me. Ainin Makadoshis, then they're not Makadish. And the Gemara, we're going to discuss the details behind it. It once happened, there was a case with five women. Among these five women, there were two sisters. A man picked a basket of figs, which is for the whole basket is worth, there's enough figs in it that there's more than a person's worth for each one, so that's not the issue. So the figs actually belonged to them. They came to these women. It came from their field. And it was actually, these were figs of Shvius, which later on, we're not in today's Gemara, but in tomorrow's on Inbeis, the Gemara is going to discuss the details of why these details are important, the fact that it was theirs and the fact that it was Shemitah proof. Anyway, but Omar, and he says, Hare kochem mekudashas libkakolazu, all of you are mekudash to me with this basket of figs. The kibla achas mein ayde kolon, so one of the women accepted it on behalf of all of them. But Omar chacham ein achoyes mekudashas. The chacham said the sisters among them are not mekudash. The other three women are fine. There's a prilter for each one, but the sister is not. We're going to talk about in the Gemara the details of them. What?
Even they were
Shvius. It doesn't matter that they were Shvius. That's again, that's the Gemara is going to deal with later on. That's another issue. We're not getting into that right now. Okay. First of all, the Gemara says, Menani Mili, where do we know this from? This idea that if you're Makadish at the same time, two women, one of which is an Erva, one of which, because you're Makadish one, the other one becomes an Erva, that the Kedushin are not Tefis. Fine, we understand that one, if you're Makadish a woman and at some later date you're Makadish her daughter or her mother, fine, we know Kedushin aren't Tefis because it's a Chiyuv Kardis or Chiyuv Mrs. Basin, as the case may be, and Kedushin aren't Tefis. But how do we know that if you do it at the same time? Because you have a pasuk that says the isha lachoisa leisikach litzra, a woman and her sister you should not take, meaning you should not do kiddushin litzra to make them rivals. Meaning a torah amra, the torah effectively is saying b'shosh and after tzaris zulazu, if you're doing it in a way where they're going to become tzaris to each other. For example, in our example over here where you're makadish both of them at the same time. Then you don't have lekuchim. Lois Sikach is not telling us an iser, don't marry them. It's rather a statement of fact, basically. You are not able to marry them. You are not able to have lekuchim, to have kedushin afilu ba'achas mehen, even in one of them. Okay, so you have a there's a cause of that. Amalei Rava, Ihachi. If that's what you're going to say, if that's what you're going to argue, that's what the pasuk means. Hainu d'chsiv. Then what about this? What are you going to do with what it says at the end of the pasuk? The pasukim, by the way, are from this week's parasha. Come to think of it. So at the end of the parasha, at the end of parasha Sarayas, the Torah finishes off. Anybody who does these, anybody who's over on any of these Arayas is going to get kores. Now, if kedushin anyway aren't tofes in either one of them, karis mi mechayev, then where's the karis? Imagine you have two sisters, Rachel and Leah. If you were to say, if the pasuk is talking about you're makadish Rachel, and at some later date you're makadish, you try to be makadish Leah, or whether you're makadish or not, either way kedushin aren't tofes, but you have relations with Leah, fine, we can understand there's karis involved. If you, Rami Bachama, are telling us that the pasuk is actually teaching us that when you're makadish Rachel and Leah at the same time, kedushin aren't tofes in either one. So later on, if your mezana was one or the other, she's not achoyis ishtoi. There's no issur koris there.
If you marry, she tries to marry both at the same time.
Then neither. Then you don't get either one, and therefore neither one is your wife, and therefore neither one is the sister of your wife. So there's no koris involved. Each one is just a pnuya.
I suppose if you
marry them separately, but Rami Bachama is telling us that that's not what the pasuk is saying. And the reason why Rami Bachama learns it that way is because he says otherwise I don't even be poshut. Of course, we know kedushin or tofes in chayv krusis and mitzvah based in, so the pasuk would have no reason to tell us. Yeah. Ella Omer Rava, no. Krabba Zachazen. No, the pasuk is actually telling us that you're the case where you're doing it one after the other. That you were Mekadosh Rachel, and then at some later date, you want to be Mekadosh Leah, and the Torah is telling us that Kedushin aren't Tophis, and Venichris are on a Parshas Oitis, and if you were to try to have relations with Leah with or without Kedushin, again, Kedushin aren't going to be Tophis anyways, there's nothing to talk about, then you're going to be Chayiv Kodesh. Well, Masnissin Kedurabba. So rather, the reason behind our Mishnah cannot be from the Gzeiros HaKotiv that Rami Bacham is saying, because Rava is saying that's not what the pasuk means. It's rather like the principle that Rava says. The Amar Rava, Kol She'ene B'Zachazeh, any time when you have something where two actions cannot be done in Halacha one after the other, after the B'Vasach HaSeiner, then they don't even work if you do them simultaneously. So in this case, once you Mekadosh Rachel, you can never be Mekadosh Leah. Well, not never. You can't be Mekadosh Leah again as long as Rachel was alive. And again, if it was a mother and daughter, then it would be never, absolutely, because they're also forever. So if you can't do them B'Zeach HaZeh, then even B'Vasachas Einer, then it doesn't even work if you do it B'Vasachas. We don't say that one of them is Tophis and the other one not. It means that nothing. It means that nothing.
That the reverse is possible?
That what?
The reverse is possible?
What do you mean?
If you try to marry both at the same time, one after the other should be good.
No, well, that in principle, maybe that's not what we're saying. We're saying that if you have something in halacha where the Torah does not allow you to do them one after the other, or not doesn't allow, but once you do one, the other one is ineffective. Like in this case, once you mekadosh one, kedushin with the other are ineffective because they're not tophis. Then it's equally ineffective if you do them at the same time. Actually, there's a lot of discussion among the Rishonim and Achronim about the parameters of this Inyan of Rabbahs. One point is Reb Chaim Brisker makes a point, which a lot of Achronim discuss in great detail, the pros and cons of it, that we're not talking about over here something where you can't do two things at the same time because of physical impossibility. We're talking about where you can't do the second one after the other because you can't do them at the same time because of the halachic impossibility. So that's what we're dealing with.
I mean, if you could do it at the same time, halachically you couldn't.
Right. Also, there's an idea I think that Rashba discusses that we're davka talking about two things that contradict each other. Like in this case, being Mekadosh Rachel prevents you from being Mekadosh Leah. We're not talking about two things that could complement each other or whatever. Okay, anyway. Gufa. So getting into that discussion, Omer Rabba, Kol She'ene B'Zachazeh Afilu B'Vasachaseinu, anything where in halacha once you do one, then the other one would be ineffective, you can't do it, then even if you do them at the same time, it's also ineffective. Eis Rabbaya, Rabbaya asks on him, have a stira. A Braisa tells us, Hamar B'Meiser, if somebody gives too much Meiser, now we know, with Truma, we've learned previously, there's no fixed amount for it. With Araisa, it's one grain of wheat. With Rabbanon, it's 1/40, 1/50, or 1/60. But you give it B'Oimid. You don't measure out exactly the 1/40, 50th, or 60th. You estimate it. And if you gave too much Truma, no big deal. When it comes to Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, whatever, that's supposed to be exactly 10%. And he's supposed to measure
more or less.
It's actually supposed to be precisely. You know, we say in Pirkei Avos, I'll tell you it's going to be in this week's Perek. I'll tarbel after umdus. Don't give meiser by estimate. Don't give too much la after umdus to give meiser by estimate, because as our Gemara is going to tell us, if you give too much meiser, you have a problem. Amar b'meiser peros of mitakonim, your peros will be fixed up. The peros that you kept for yourself that you didn't give away as meiser, that you didn't define as meiser, won't be tevel anymore. Good, you've taken care of that. Or meiser is mikol kolin. However, the meiser itself will be messed up, because Rashi says now what you're going to have is the let's say, for example, so you're supposed to give 10% as meiser. Instead, let's say you give 20% as meiser. The problem is half of that 20% is not meiser. But it's not Hulun Mitokon neither. It's still Tevil. Because you didn't have in mind to give Meiser on behalf of your Meiser. Therefore, it's still Tevil. What you have over here is, of this 20%, you have 10%, somehow in it, 10%, half of it is Meiser, half of it is Tevil. But you don't know which is which. It's all mixed up. Okay, Rashi learns then that at least there is a way to fix it up, and the way that you could fix it up, Mepharshim explained, would be that you'd use some other produce and you'd separate out Meiser on behalf of the part of it that's Tevil. The Meiri actually says there is no way to be misakin it. It's stuck, and even the Kohen or the Levi himself can't. Nothing. I mean, it means that the pashtus, it would mean you'd have to just set it aside, and then there's nothing you can do with it. You can't have the levy, can't eat it.
But give it back to the
Maybe that's what you could do. I mean, we know when it comes. I know when it comes to truma, you can be shoyal on it. You can go and ask the rov to be matir neder on the truma. Maybe the same thing would be true as far as ma'aser. You can go to the rov, be matir neder on the fact that you gave this extra amount, and then start all over again and give it properly. Whatever the case, though, v'amai. Now the question is, why should we say that this ma'aser took effect in the sense that ma'aseroisa mukokolin, that your ma'aser is now going to be messed up? Let's use Rabba's rule. If you can't do it one after the other, because if you were to give 10% for my tradition, for example, and then say I'm going to give another 10% for my tradition, that's ineffective. Once you gave it, you don't. There's no more my tradition to be given. So why don't we say by the same logic, by Rabba's logic? So if you did it at the same time, nothing happened. Therefore, there's no ma'aser here.
Maybe Rabba means only ba'arayos.
No, if he says kol she'ena b'zachaseh, and the truth is actually the original context where Rabba mentions this is actually in a din in Eruvin. We learned it a few years back in Eruvin, in connection with a case over there where a person sees a tree or some other landmark in the distance, and he says, I want to be kona shvisa by that tree, but he doesn't specify where under the tree. So there you also have the same problem. You can't do bazaar hazer because you can't say, having decided that you're going to have one makom shvisa, you can't now decide on another one. The second one's ineffective after you chose the first one, and you can't do bazaar hazer. So applying to our case of Meister, why are we saying that taking 20% as Meister is effective in the sense that Meister has been taken, but your payers are now Makokal? I mean, your Meister is now Makokal. Amalei, so Rabbi answers him, Shiny Meister de Isser Lachatsoy. Yes, but the difference by Meister is that Meister, to begin with, can be done by half. De Iomet is Skadish, Pauga de Chitza, because what if you were to say, to begin with, if you were to say, out of this grain that I'm separating out, only half of each grain of wheat should become meiser kadosh, then it would become kadosh. So you took out 20%, but you could say out of that 20%, half of each grain is meiser, half is chulin. You just don't know which half, not chulin, tevel. You don't know which half is which, and therefore you have the problem meiserisim mukokolin. But you can't prove from that for other cases. You can't prove from that, for example, for kedushin, where there's no such thing as a half kedushin.
But if you say half of it is devil, half of it is meiser, you do it at the same time, though.
That's the point. In other words, you're able to take off meiser. I mean, this is how Rashi learns it. There are other Rishonim who have problems with Rashi's explanation, and they give various other explanations. One of them being. So it means, well, that's what it means. In other words, yeshle the meiser lochol al kochita v'chita l'pi chashben. Now, he says meiser is able to be chal on each grain of wheat proportionally. You gave twice as much meiser as you're supposed to. That means half of each grain out of what you separated out is meiser, and half of it, well, by rights should be cholin, but it's not. It's still tevel because, again, you didn't have in mind to take out meiser on behalf of that. So it's not, in other words, you started by assuming that out of this pile, half of the pile is going to be meiser and half of it is going to be tevel, and you had a problem with that. Now what we're saying is that no, half of each grain is meiser and half of it is tevel. You're able to do that. You're able l'hapchila, when you separate out meiser, you're able l'hapchila to say, out of this 20% that I'm separating out, I intend for only half of each grain to be meiser. You're able to do that.
What's the difference? Half of the grain or half of the meiser? Yeah, what's the difference? Half of the pile or half of each grain?
Because half of the pile, we're arguing, l'chura, you can't separate half the pile and later on choose to separate out another half of the pile. But here, l'chura, you can separate out a larger amount and say, out of this, only part of each grain, and I am separating out all at once. I am separating out. The difference is. The original case was like this. The original case was that he mistakenly, or not mistake, whatever it is, he decided, you know what, if giving 10% is good, giving 20% is even better. So he gives 20% intending for the whole thing to be meiser, and was saying, how does that work if you're only supposed to give 10% and you can't do that twice? The answer is because there's a different way of doing it. You could l'chatchila take out 20% and say, I intend for only half of what I'm taking out to be meiser, in the sense that I intend, out of this whole amount that I've taken out, I intend for half of each grain to be meiser.
And the rest?
And the rest will be, well, you could l'chatchila have in mind that if you're doing it that way properly, you could have in mind then that the other half will be chulin, that the half of what you're taking out, which you're intending to be meiser, you're taking out enough to cover also the other half of each grain that you took out now. And then the other half would be chulin. In this case, you didn't. The point is, in this case, you didn't. You thought, again, 10% is better, 20, if 10% is good, 20% is better, you took it all out l'shem meiser. Therefore, the other half of each grain is tevel rather than chulin.
Right.
But it's still the principle of the thing that you are able to separate it out by half grains. You are able to separate out that whole amount at once, and that be considered a valid way of giving ma'aser.
So if you had in mind 10%...
If you had in mind that out of this 20% I'm taking, the 10% of it will be ma'aser, yes, you could do that. Mashenkin, with kedushin, you can't be makadish by half.
Right.
So as I said, there are other rishonim who have various other explanations, one of them being something along the lines of that after the fact, that after you separated out 20%, you may have the pot, you may separate out 20% without saying that it's meiser at all, and then out of that you can say out of what I already separated from the rest of the pile, I'm going to designate half of it as meiser, whatever. Yeah.
So what do we derive from this in relation?
The point
to the
is, therefore, so that's an exception. In other words, since you're able to do it like that, since you are able to take out more than 10%, but only 10% be meiser, therefore you don't have the rule that you can't do it b'zeach hazeh, and therefore you can't do it b'vasachas. In that case, it's an exception. You are able to do b'zeach hazeh in the sense that you're able to take out more and intend that only part of it should be meiser.
Start with 20% and then
10%. Yeah. So therefore, you can also do b'zachas there. Therefore, you can also do b'vasachas. B'chatchili, you took out 20% and intended for all of it to be meiser. That you're able to have the half of it is considered meiser, and the other half is considered tevel. It still fits with Rabbah's principle. It's not the same kind of thing as Rabbah's principle, because it's not something that you can't do b'vasach. It's not something that you can't do b'zachas there. You could do b'zachas there. Fine. What about ma'aser behema? You can't do ma'aser behema by halves, because you can't say that half. You can't say, for example, Rashi says, well, after you've counted out 9 animals for ma'aser behema, you can't take out. You can't have 2 animals go out in the 10th position and say half of each one will be ma'aser. Ma'aser is supposed to be only 1 animal. It's supposed to be only 1 complete animal. And you can't do b'zeach hazeh in the sense that if the 10th one went out and you said this is number 10, and then another one went out and you said this is number 10, this is the second one, doesn't count for anything. Yeah, it doesn't count for anything. V'omar Rava, yet we find that Rava said it in, yotzu shnayim basivi, what if taka 2 animals went out together in the 10th position? But wait, that's what we're talking about. That's b'zeach hazeh. The koran asiri.
No, they walk at the same time.
That's what we're saying. Ma'aser behema was saying you can't do b'zeach hazeh. You can't have the 10th animal walks out, you say this is number 10, then the 11th animal walks out, you say this is number 10. That doesn't work. The 11th one won't become kaddish in that case. The rule is that we're going to learn now. The basic rule is if the 10th one was properly named, then no other one can take its place. If the 10th one was improperly named, as we're going to say in a second, then it can. But we'll get to that in a second. And you also can't do it like a soy. You can't argue with like the case of ma'aser, where you can say each half of a grain of wheat is truma. You can't say half an animal is ma'aser behema. But we find that you're able to do b'vasachas, because va'amar Rava yotzu shnayim ba'asiri. What if 2 animals walked out together in the 10th position? So 9 animals have gone out single file, and now when it comes to number 10, 2 animals walk out together. V'kara nasiri, and you called both of them number 10. Asiri v'achadosim u'ravim zebezet. What you have in this case is you have the 10th one, which is supposed to be meiser, and the 11th one, which is sort of a din of a tmura. The din is Rashi brings from the Gemara and Bechoris over there. It's actually a machlokes tanoim, but the halacha is that it's brought as a shlomim, the 11th one.
Peace offering.
What? As a peace offering, yeah. So in that case, so you have the 10th and the 11th are mixed together. You don't know which one is which. What do you have to do in that case? You don't know which one is which. Rashi says what you have to do in this case, what you have to do is you have to leave them both to go send them out to pasture. Eventually they'll develop a mum. Once the animal has a mum, you're able to be machalit, you're able to transfer its kedusha onto a new animal. then so you say whichever one of these two is the shlomim, the kedusha of it is transferred to this animal. Therefore, you'll bring the new one as shlomim, and then you'll eat the other two. The other two are sofek meiser. The other two are both sofek meiser, and so you'll eat them. You know, the din is they're eaten in that. Yeah, you eat them. You don't bring them as a carbon because they have a mum, but you eat them with their mum.
Is a mum a blemish?
A mum is a blemish. Yeah. Okay. The point is we see that there you have a case that you can't do it b'zeh hazeh, because you can't call the 10th one number 10 and the 11th one number 10 and have that work. The 11th one, nothing happens. It's a whole animal. And yet we see you can do it b'vasah hazeh, that you can have a case where two of them walk out together and both of them are considered to have, to a certain extent, the shuv b'chor. So that contradicts Rabba's rule. The answer is shiny. Ma'isa behema de isa betos. Yes, but ma'isa behema is also different because there is another din in it, which is unique to ma'isa behema, which does not apply, for example, to kedushin. That it can happen betos. You can have that if you didn't designate the 10th animal correctly, then another animal is able to become the 10th one instead. Namely, the Tanan, as we learn in a Mishnah there in Bechoris, what happened? The 9th one went out, and mistakenly you called it number 10. So you went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The 9th one went out, and you miscounted, and you said 10. Then you realize your mistake, let's say, v'lasiri chi. So then the 10th one went out, and you counted it as number 9. And then the 11th one went out, and you're in the habit, after 9 comes 10, so you count as 10. So now what you have is two animals that were called 10, neither of which is the actual 10th, because one was the 9th and one was the 11th, and the one which is actually 10th was not called 10th. The din is Shlosh and Mekudoshin. All three of them have Kedusha in that case. Because
yeah, but that's not basketball.
That the point is that you can have Batos. Because you're able to have the concept that something can be Maisa behaving Batos, that if you mistakenly misdesignate the 10th one and don't designate it correctly as the 10th one, that either the 9th or the 11th can become Meiser instead. Therefore, you also have the din, when the 10th and 11th one come out together, so you also have the same thing. In other words, when the same way as that works, that the real 9th or 11th one can be considered Meiser to a certain extent. The Mishnah describes over there the details what you do with each of these three animals, but whatever, that's not really so. So Nagaya over here, the bottom line is that just like you have, like that can happen, that you can have the ninth, the real ninth or the real 11th be the one which is sort of treated as Meiser. The same way, our case, the Rava's original case, we have the 10th and 11th go out together. You can have, that's not a matter of Bazaar Hazer versus Vasaka. You sort of can have it, Bazaar Hazer, in the sense that if you had 9, 10, and 11 go out one after the other, then the Kedusha is able to be transferred to a certain extent from one to the other. Therefore, you can also have it, Bazaar Hazer. So it's not a contradiction to Rabba's rule.
If you had 10, 9, 11, all the three would be Kaddish.
Well, 10, 9, and 10, actually. 10, 9, and 10. 10, 9, and 11. But really, they were 9, 10, and 11, yeah.
So 10,
but all three of them are Kaddish. Rashi describes, and what the Mishnah tells us in Bechoris over there, the one that was 9th, which you mistakenly called 10th, you have to wait till it develops a mum, and then you can eat it. The real 10th one, which you called 9th, is the actual Maisa Behema, and you bring it as a carbon. The 11th one, which you called 10, becomes a Shlomim. Okay. Anyway, the point is that you have, because you're able to do that, the toast, therefore, you also have the possibility of having it happen vasacha. So not a contradiction to Rabba's rule, because that's a unique situation.
Because of Taurus.
Yes. Okay. How about another one, the Gemara says? Hare toida, what about, consider the case of a korban toida, the less of a Taurus, the less of nami bazacha there. You can't have that, now with a toida, we know that along with a korban toida, you bring 40 loaves of bread. Ten loaves of each of three types of matzah and 10 loaves of chametz bread,
right.
Which, by the way, is why we don't say mizmor v'soda throughout Pesach. And we know that the designation of those 40 chalas can't happen betos. In the sense, for example, Rashi says, let's say you had in mind a particular set of loaves. Rashi says, let's say you had in mind a particular set of dark-colored loaves, and instead to go along with the toda, instead it turned out that they were white-colored ones. Then they're not kaddish because hekdesh betos. We learned back in Nazir that hekdesh
white-colored ones.
You didn't say, but you had in mind. you had in mind that the Torah is going to go with the black colored ones, and instead it turns out that they're white colored ones, and then they're not Kodesh because Hekdesh Patos. So there's no toes possible over there. And yet, you also can't have Bazacha there, again, in the sense that if you shechted the Torah with 40 chalas there in the Azara with you, then later on you want to designate another 40 chalas to go with it. Nothing happens to those 40. They're still colored. The Itmar, and yet we have a discussion of Amiroyim. Torah Shenishchatal Shemoinim Chalas. Let's say you shechted a Torah with 80 loaves of bread for two sets of 40. So what happened to the extra one? Chizkiya says what happens is 40 out of the 80 are considered Kaddish. The other 40 effectively are considered Chulin. The Rashi just says that the Gemara there in Menachos describes the details what you do with the other 40. But that's not, again, that's not really so Negea to Asugya, but the point is Chizkiya is saying that you don't say that all 80, you can't say all 80 become Kaddish. You just say that 40 of them are Kaddish and the other ones are not. And Rabbi Yechanan says that 40 of them do not 40 of them do not become Kaddish. It sounds like it means that none of them become Kaddish then. So there you have a case where you can't have Vasachas, where you can't have Bezachas there, but according to Chizkiya at least you can have Vasachas. You can shech having in mind 80 of them and only 40 of them become Kaddish. So how does that work? The answer is the Gemara says Lav Itzman Allah. Well, don't you know that there was further set a discussion about that there in Menachos? Amar Rabbi Shur ben Levi, Amar Rabbi Zera, it says on the side it should be Hakol Moedim Kol Eicha Darma Kodshi La Boy Metech Shmoinim Kodshi. Everybody would agree, both Chizkiya and Rabbi Yechanan, that if he actually said, I only intend for 40 out of these 80 to become Kaddish, I don't want the other 40 to become Kaddish, then Lo Yichdeshu, then Kodshi, then Taka only 40 of them become Kaddish. On the other hand, if he says Lo Yichdeshu Aboyim Elim Ken Katshi Shmoinim. On the other hand, if he says I dafka want 80, I don't want 40 of them to become Kaddish unless all 80 of them can. Mm-hmm. Then Lo Katshi, then they don't become Kaddish. Since all 80 can't, then none of them do. Lo Nechlik Well Bestam. The Machlokes is only if it was Stam. He shechted without specifying what he wants to do with the extra ones, and then he left, and we can't ask him. Mar Savalach Rais Kamachavin. So Chizkiya figures that why did he have 80 there in the first place? And he didn't specify that he only wants 40 of them to become Kaddish, but that's what he meant. He meant he just wants to say he wants to have lachrayus. He wants to have in case the original 40 become postal, he wants to have spare ones available. But he only meant for 40 of them to become Kaddish. Umar Sabal Kovin Godo Kamakavan, whereas Rabbi Yochanan would hold that if he said Stam, what it meant is he meant all of them. He thought, again, like in the case of the Maisa before, he figured if 40 chalas is good, isn't 80 chalas even better? So he meant for all 80 of them to become Kaddish, and therefore nothing doing, because you can't use 80 chalas. So that's the machlokus over there. Again, nothing to do with Bezeh Hazeh or Bezachas. It's just a case.
It's really
what does he have in mind to do with the other 40? Did he have in mind that the other 40 are taka meant only as spares, they don't become Kaddish unless as a contingency, or did he mean for all of them to become Kaddish and then nothing doing?
What was the problem with the first 40?
Nothing. Let's say the first 40 become Tameh.
And not the second ones.
And not the second ones. Then he has the extra 40 available as spares. Yeah.
18, none of them become.
If taka were to say 80, then yeah, nothing doing. Everybody would agree to that, yeah.
Yeah, in mind.
Yeah.
So
again, you can't disprove Rabba's principle from this because this is a different kind of case. We're saying. I mean, the question is basically, what does he have in mind to do with the extra ones? It's not a question of whether you're able to whether you're able to do one after the other or whether you're able to do all of them. Yeah.
Basically, in both situations, whether he intends 40 or he intends 80, it's all at the same time. It's not one after the other.
Well, yeah, okay. Okay, so Gemara says, going back to the beginning of the Sugya, we asked the question, where do we get the din in our Mishnah from? We have Rami Bachama's answer that we learned. Okay, so the bottom line is, okay, we haven't been able to disprove Rabba's principle, so fine, Rabba's principle stands. Now the question is, why is Rabba trying to enter for the Mishnah according to Rabba anyway? Let's go back to the beginning of the Sugya. Rami Bachama had brought a pasuk as a source for our Mishnah. Right. Rava argued with him and said that's not what the pasuk means, and gave a different and said we can't learn it from a pasuk. We understand the Mishnah based on Rava's principle.
Right.
The question is, but Rava lama le l'shanuya k'Rava, why does Rava feel the need to explain the Mishnah like Rava? Typically, kedushin shein mesur l'biyin ninu. Let him give a different answer. The reason why, he doesn't have to say Rava's principle of bazach hazer v'vasachas. Rava himself has a different reason to explain the din in our Mishnah. Namely, the next sugya which we're going to have over here, machlokas Rava and Abaya, about kedushin shein mesur l'biyin. If you're Makadish a woman in a way that it can never lead to Bia, like in this case, you're Makadish one of two sisters, you don't know which one is Makodish, so therefore you can't do Bia with either one, because each one might be a Chodesh, right? Rava is going to say, we're going to have a discussion over here, that Rava holds that that's not considered Kedushin Bechlal, to let her, he can explain the Mishnah on that basis. He has no need to invoke Rava's principle.
Why does he invoke Rava's principle?
That's the question. The answer is the Dvar of the Rami Bachama Kama. You're right. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it for his own shitta. He's saying, you, Rami Bachama, who maybe don't accept my shitta, you have to have some way of explaining the Mishnah. Your explanation based on the pasuk fell apart. So therefore, I'm offering how you yourself could explain it. You could use Rabba's principle. Me, I have a different explanation of the Mishnah. So now the Gemara says Itmar. So now they had a what?
We're going to verify.
Well, now we're going to discuss that issue. Kedushin Shein Masur and Labia. So if you have Kedushin that are not able to come to Bia. So Rashi gives again our example over here, two sisters. Tosfos asks a question. Now, I mean, Kedushin Shein Masur and Labia, by that logic, I mean, what about if you're Makadish or Chayva with somebody who's an Isulav? You can't do Bia with them because it's an Isulav, but Kedushin are certainly Tosfos. So Tosfos has a different understanding of what Kedushin Shein Masur and Labia means. Tosfos says Kedushin Shein Masur and Labia means that it's because of the Kedushin that the Isur Bia was created. Well, in other words, Tosfos' point was, like, let's say, for example, according to Rashi's definition of Kedushin Shein Masur and Labia, let's say a Koyin being the Kaddish of Grusha would be Kedushin Shein Masur and Labia, because Kedushin. Bia is not possible because an Isur Lav.
Is it Kedushin?
Sure, it's Kedushin, that's right, because it's only an Isur Lav.
Yeah.
So according to Rashi's definition, how does that work? So Tosfos explains
the ones who say that it's Isulav.
According to the majority, according to the halacha, that Kedushin Atosfos and Isulav. Yeah. So Tosfos has a different understanding. With a Kohen and a Grusha, let's say, she was also to him all along. What we mean over here, Kedushin Shein Masur and Labia, which Rava and Abaya are going to be arguing about, is the act of Kedushin itself created the Isur. Namely, in this case, two sisters. As long as you weren't Makadish one of them, you could have done Bia, you could have been Makadish either one and done Bia with her, there never would have been an issue. Only because there's a suffix, which one you were Makadish, is there now an Isur Bia with both of them. The Kedushin itself created the Isur. That's what he means. So, Kedushin Shein Masur and Labia. That's what Tosfos is explaining. So, Abaya Mahava Kedushin. Abaya says that such Kedushin still are considered valid Kedushin. Rava Amaloy have a Kedushin, and Rava says they're not. We're going to get to that at the end of the sugya. Yeah. Yes. This is one of the six cases where the halacha is like a baya. Yeah, we're going to get to that at the end of the sugya. We may not get to it today, but we'll get to it tomorrow. And yeah, we'll get to it tomorrow. It's in the middle of Nunbeza Madalaka. Omar Rava, Barahina Azrali. Barahina explained to me a basis in the pasuk for my shita. That such kedushin chain Masur and Labia cannot even be considered kedushin.
Namely,
the pasuk says ki yikach ish isho v'ola. When a man does kedushin, ki yikach, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, is one of the forms of kedushin, kedusha keser. And he has relations with her. Therefore, the pasuk is teaching us kedushin hamasurim labia have a kedushin. Only if it's kedushin that's able to lead the bia is it considered kedushin. Kedushin shein masurim labia where there can't be over Allah, lo have a kedushin. Then it's not kedushin. The Gemara says tnan. Fine. Let's consider what our Mishnah says and see how it bears on the machlokas. The Mishnah had said I'm a kaddish isha ubita. A man is Makadish together a woman and her daughter, or Ishava Chosa, Ka'achas, or a woman and her sister at the same time, Einin Makudashis, she wouldn't be Makudash, which seems to imply only because he's Makadish both of them. And then we have either Rami Bahama's Pasuk or Rabbi Svara or whatever, which implies, Ha Achas Me Ishovita, or Me Ishava Chosa, which would imply, hello, that if he were to say, among you two women, I'm Makadish one of you, without specifying which one, it sounds like it would be Kedusha. Now you have to ask why. By my Kedushin Shein Masur and Labia Ninu. Whether he said one of you or whether he said both of you, either way, it's Kedushin Shein Masur and Labia. Either way, you can't do bia, because even if you said one of you, you haven't specified which one. So one of the each one of the Mekudesh Misafik, you can't do bia with either one then, because each one might be Bas Ishtoy or Achalis Ishtoy or what have you. And you see that's, the Mishnah seems to be implying that it's valid Kedushin. Tiyuf to the Rava. So you have a contradiction to Rava. Amalach Rava. So Rava can answer you, really, Tamecha. According to your own logic, let's look Ema Sefer. Look at the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Maisa b'chomish nashim, you had a Maisa with five women, ubehen shtei achoyis, among them were two sisters, v'likat echad kakola shalta'enim, a man gathered together a basket of figs, v'shalayen ha'isa, it belonged to them, v'shal shviyas ha'isa, it was figs of shviyas, v'am ha'rei kochen v'kudashisli v'kakola zu, he said, all of you are m'kudash to me with this basket, v'am ha'cham en achoyis m'kudashis, v'cham said, the sisters are not m'kudash. Implying achoyes who dain and mekudash is fine. So the implication is only the sisters out of the five are not mekudash on nachrias, but the unrelated women, the other three women mekudashes. Now Rava says you have to ask heichidami. What would be the case in the Mishnah? Ilema da'ama kulchem. Is it literally that he said all of you? That he said collectively? That he said the word collectively, all of you? Well, then you have a different problem. This is the equivalent of a case that's discussed in Baba Basra. Imagine, for example, somebody says to another person, you and this donkey be koina these nechassim. Now, a donkey has no ability to be koina, or an animal has no ability to be koina any nechassim. Not like in American law where you hear all the time of people leaving their estates to their cat or whatever. And halacha, such a thing doesn't work. Since Rashi gives a different example, that let's say you're makne to a person as well as to an unborn baby. Either way, the point is an unborn baby can't be koina either. Since the chamor or the unborn baby in Rashi's scenario can't be koina, neither is the other person. Atma chamor like koina. In such a case, when you have atma chamor, then there's no kinyan. So if he were to say kulchem, all of you collectively, that's the equivalent of saying that, look, even according to Abaya, if you were to say that I'm Makadosh both of you, for sure Kedushin aren't Tofus in either one, either for Rami Bahama's reason or for Rabba's reason. So therefore, but by saying kulchem, it would mean I'm being Makadosh two women with whom Kedushin are impossible because of the Pasuk or because of Rabba's Svara. How is Kedushin Tofus with the other three either? That's the equivalent of saying Atma Chamor. Well, mind you, I mean, the Gemara and Baba Basra discusses there are actually several different opinions about this Atma Chamor business. The halacha is actually that the At is koina half of it. So Mephoshim discuss a lot, why does Rava take it for granted over here, then At is koina half of the Nechassim, and the other half just remain after, I guess. But that's the halacha, so why is Rava assuming that not over here? So they give various answers, one of them being that our Gemara, doesn't necessarily have to agree with that. Or they say there may be a difference, Rava might argue there's a difference between saying kulchem versus actually specifying you and the chamor. When he say you and the chamor are fine, you could argue your kind of the chamor is not. When he say kulchem, where you're including everybody in one word, that's different. Anyway,
if he had actually said,
let's say you, and you, yeah, then that might be different. Yeah. Elalav to amalahu achas mikem. Necessarily, then the Mishnah must be that he said one out of the five of you is mekodesh. So the three who are unrelated then is all suffered kedushin. The sisters, it says, v'katani ein achoyes mekudoshes, and it says that the sisters are not mekudosh at all. Right. Now why not? So the Rava Kasher Reisha. The bottom line is we have a question from the Reisha of the Mishnah and Rava. As we said before, the Reisha of the Mishnah which implied that if you mekadosh one out of the two sisters, it would work, and only when you mekadosh both of them does it not. That's problematic for Rava. And the Sefer is
the Sefer is
a problem for Abaya. Because if you say achas mikem, why should we say that the sisters that neither sister is mekudesh? We should say, according to Abaya, if kedushin shein mesurim lebia or kedushin, one or both of them should also be suffered kedushin. The answer is Abaya mataris b'tamei, Rava mataris b'tamei. Abaya will have to explain the Mishnah according to his shita. Rava will have to explain the Mishnah according to his shita. Namely, Abaya matayot v'tamei. Abaya will explain the Mishnah as follows. The Mishnah starts off from a kaddish isho vita or yishavacho yitzakachas enim kedushin. So for a man is a kaddish, a mother and daughter or two sisters at the same time, then there's no kedushin. Implying ha'achas me isho vita me yishavacho yitzakachas enim kedushin. implying that if he did only one of them, even without specifying which one, it would be Kedushin, because even though it's Kedushin, Shein Nesurim Labia, fine, Abaya holds such a thing as Kedushin. However, the Im Omar, here is where Abaya has to add something to the Mishnah, the Im Omar HaRu'uy Labia Tiskadishli, however, if he said explicitly that I want only the one who is suitable to Labia to me to be Niskadish, Einim HaKudeshis, then neither sister will be Niskadish. So therefore, now the Gemara, the Mishnah will bring her.
So if he says Imruya, if he doesn't say Imruya,
if he doesn't say Imruya, then we would say that then he did only one of them, then he said one out of you is Mekodesh to me, then all five of them will be Mekodesh Mesafek.
As opposed to if he says
Ruya Labia, given that neither one is Ruya Labia, if he says one out of five of you is Mekodesh, neither of the sisters is going to be Ruya Labia, because whichever one is Mekodesh, the other one will be also to him, then neither of them is Mekodesh. Indeed, it happened a case with five women, among them were two sisters. A man gathered a basket of figs. The Mishnah just said kocha mekudashesli. But Rava already proved it can't be kocha, because then you have the problem of atta chamer. So therefore, we have to say, therefore, that atta chamer means that you say that, we said before, that you say that you and a donkey should be koina these nechasim. It should be coined in this property. And then you can't do that. A donkey has no ability to acquire property. So Abaya is changing the wording of the Mishnah a little bit to say, that he said to these five women, among you, whichever one of you is capable of beer with me, should be Niskadish to me. Said that the two sisters are not Mekodesh. There's no Suffolk Kedushin by any of them. The Suffolk Kedushin exists only by the other three. Or maybe even all three. Maybe even not Suffolk Kedushin. Maybe even Vada Kedushin. Because all three of them, there was enough value in there to have a Prutta for each one. So therefore, the three of them would be Mekodesh. Fine. That's a biased explanation. But Rava retires the time. Rava will explain the Mishnah according to his Svara, namely, Hamakadish Achas Meisho Vitar Achas Meisho Vachalisa. He will say that the Mishnah, that you have to add words at the beginning of the Mishnah. If you Makadish one out of a pair of a mother and daughter, Achas Meisho Vachalisa, or one out of a pair of a woman and her sister, Nasa Kamisha Kiddish Isho Vitar, it's the equivalent of being Makadish a mother and daughter, or a woman and her sister at the same time, and then there's no kedushin, because again, either way, whether you did them both at the same time, or whether you did one after the other, whether you said one out of the two, but without specifying which one, either way, it's ain masur and labia, there's no capability of bia afterwards, and therefore, according to Rava, there's no kedushin. And he continues, a mice and nami b'chomish nashim. Indeed, it happened with five women, or hen shtei achoyis. Among them were two sisters. One guy gathered a basket of figs. And he said, all of you, including one out of the two sisters, is mekodesh to me. B'chalkolazu, with this basket. And the chachamim said that the sisters are not mekodesh. Neither one of them, even though he said one out of the two, because saying one out of the two is kedushin shein masur and labia.
Because you don't know which one.
Because you don't know which one, and therefore the other one is going to be also. Yeah.
Where do we see that you have to know exactly which one?
Well, that's what Rava is saying. Kedushin shein masur and labia. That if, as long as you have a case where the kedushin are not going to be able to lead to bia. Because once you Makadish one, once there's a Suffolk condition on one, you're also to marry the other one,
yeah.
At least as, in the case of sisters, as long as the other one is alive, as long as the first one is alive.
Where do you know that for the Chachamim? We know that, we understand, where did Chachamim take it from, that he doesn't say, he doesn't designate one sister, he can marry neither. Where did they take it?
That's what Rava is saying, because Rava is saying Kedushin Shein Masur Labia. He says that Barahim.
Rava says the Chachamim.
What Chachamim? We have Rava versus Abaya.
Right.
Abaya understood the case in the Mishnah of the five women to be that he said, Haru'uya limikem, among the five of you, whichever one is suitable for Bia, should be Niskadish.
Right.
He didn't specify one of the two sisters.
Right.
So presumably he meant both sisters.
Right.
Since by being Niskadish, both sisters, neither one becomes Mutter to him, therefore he meant only the other three. Rava is saying he explicitly said, I want one out of the two sisters. Mm-hmm. However, because Rava says, saying one out of the two sisters without specifying which one by name is no good, because Kedushin Shein Masur and Labia, therefore still the two sisters are excluded.
Mm-hmm.
And you're only left with the other three. Rashi points out, by the way, I mean, Rava might well have just as well answered that the case is he said one of you is Mekodesh without saying Kolchem. He could have said one out of the five of you is Mekodesh. He'd have the same issue because you don't know which of the five. One of the, it could be one of the sisters, and then the other one will be also to him. Rashi says that no, after all, the Mishnah did say Kolchem, and Rava didn't want to take out the word Kolchem altogether, because also because there's going to be a Gemara that we're going to deal with tomorrow on Nunbeis, which requires us to say that he actually said that he actually somehow said Kolchem, that he didn't say all of you collectively, but at least somehow he meant all of you, including one of the sisters or whatever.
The Chachamim, they think the same as Rava.
What Chachamim?
The general sense.
We don't know. I mean, you have a Stam Mishnah.
Right.
Rava and Abaya are each explaining according to their shittas. There's no Chachamim over here. There's Rava versus Abaya.
I understand, okay. But in general, you have to designate a woman to be Mekudeshes.
You have, of course, but the point of the matter is, over here we have Suffolk Kedushin. If there weren't any sisters over here, if there were a bunch of unrelated women, and he were to say, Kochem Mekodashis Li, or one of you is Mekodash to me, if you were to say one of you is Mekodash to me, all of them would be a Suffolk Kedushin, because we don't know which was the one.
Right.
We're dealing with, over here, okay, it's a Kedushin chain, Mesur and Labia. So anyway, you can't prove from our Mishnah one way or the other, because Rava and Abaya can both transfer it according to their explanation.
Right.
Okay. Toshma. Come, let's try to bring a proof from a Mishnah in the next parak. A Mekadosh is Bitei Stam. It says over there, if somebody is Mekadosh his daughter Stam, so for example, Rashi says that a man says to him, one of your daughters is Mekodosh to me, again, without specifying which one. Eina Bogris Bechlal. The Bogris, the girls who are already more than 6 months past puberty are not included. Because we learned already, a father has the ability to Mekadosh his daughter, which is a Tana or Naira, but not a Begeris. So therefore, the Begeris can't be included, which implies Hoktanis Bechlal, implying that all the Ktanos and Nairas would be included, all of them would be included in the Suffolk, and all of them would need a Get Misuffolk, no matter how many there are. Bamai, now why should that be? According to Rava, Kedush and Shein Mesur and Labia, Ninu. Lechura, it's exactly our case, Kedush and Shein Mesur and Labia. You have a bunch of daughters over there who are all Ktanis or Nairis. We're saying he was Mekadosh one of them and didn't specify which one, so all of them are Osir, all of them are Miskadosh Misafik. Now, according to Rava, why? You can't do Bia with any one of them because there's a Safik on one, all of them, all the rest of them are Osir to you, and yet we're saying they're all Mekadosh Misafik, and they all need to get Misafik. Or Tiof to Rava. This seems to be a contradiction to Rava.
To what we said previously.
Yeah. To Rava's din about Kedush and Shein, yeah.
Kitana
means she hasn't reached puberty. Naira means she has. She's within the first 6 months of it.
Omalach
Rava. Rava can answer you. Rava can answer you. We're not talking about a case where there's many daughters over here. There's one elder daughter who's above, who's already a Begeris. There's one younger daughter who's a Ktana or a Naira. And that's it. All we're saying is that the Begeris is not included. There's no suffix on her. There's only the Ktana. But there's no other one. There's no other one to be potentially Osir besides this one.
What age is the Begeris?
More than 6 months past puberty.
And the
Naira is within the first 6 months.
Oh.
Yeah. That actually points out, by the way, I mean, it doesn't really have to be there's only one older one. The point is there has to be only one Ktana. There could be as many Gdolos as you want. It doesn't really matter because they're out of the picture anyway. Because, again, the father doesn't have the ability to be Mekadosh.
It's obvious that if there's just one Gdola and one Ktana.
Whether it's obvious, that the Gemara is going to get to in a minute. But first, the Gemara deals with a linguistic thing, Ha-Boigrois Ktani. But doesn't the Mishnah use the word Boigrois in the plural, implying that there's many of them? The answer is, my Boigrois, Boigrois Dalma. We don't mean that this particular father has many daughters who are Begeris. We mean that in general, anybody who has a Begeris is not included because the father can't be Makabo Kedushin on her behalf. We mean the indefinite Begeris. We don't mean specifically that he has a lot. The question is, Yehochi Maila Memra, and in that case, then what's the Chiddush? Obviously, if there's only one Ktana, then what's the Chiddush, yeah? The answer is Hoch Maiskin and Shavisi Shliach. The case we could be talking about over here is he does have older daughters, more than one or more older daughters, but that older daughter, the Begeris, appointed her father as a Shliach to accept Kedushin on her behalf.
Oh.
Now, therefore, Maud Tema, so now you would think, Ki Makabo Kedushi Adaiti Didoka Makabo. So you would think now when a man comes to him and says, I want to be Makadish, one of your daughters, maybe he's accepting Kedushin on her behalf because she made him a Shliach. Kamash Malon, therefore, the Chiddush is Leshavit Inish Midi De Islay Hanamine, because a person is not going to set aside something from which he himself will have Hanah. Namely, when it comes to a Ketana or Naira, he's the one who gets the Kesef Kedushin, as we've learned before. When it comes to a Begeret, she made him a Shliach, but she's still going to be getting the money. We can assume that he would rather do the one which will get him a financial benefit, that he'll get the Kesef Kedushin, rather than the Begeret, where he won't.
Meaning the Ketana.
The Ketana or the Naira.
And they won't be saved this time, right?
Yeah, well, what? Well, nowadays nobody's had a Ketana or Naira.
No, you want to be able to get a first time.
You know, we'll get back to that in a minute.
When it comes to money...
Hold on. You know, Ben-Tien, wait, give me a minute, and we'll talk a little bit about that business of older daughters marrying before younger ones, and vice versa. Give us a second. Let's get to the bottom here. Okay. Imar says, why? Mila skin and damila kiddushi lididach. Why? You could just as well be saying that there's a case over here. You don't necessarily have to say, fine, let's say you're arguing that the begeret made her father a shliach. So you could just as well be saying that it's a case where she said, you be my shliach, and as a reward for being my shliach, you can have the kesef kiddushin. Yet the Mishnah seems to be implying that the begeret is completely out of the picture. There's no suffix of kiddushin on her. Now, why not? There you can't say that he would rather do what he's going to get a financial benefit out of. He's going to get the benefit either way. The answer is no. Even so, like Shavik Inish Mitzvah, the Ram Yaleh, nevertheless, we can assume a person is not going to ignore the mitzvah which is obligatory on him, namely the mitzvah of marrying off his daughter when she's under his control, when she's a Ketana or a Naira, that he's not going to do that, but Ovid Mitzvah Deloy Ram Yaleh, and instead do a mitzvah which is not really incumbent on him, namely the case where she just made him a Shliach. Where his older daughter made him a Shliach. Now, we're saying over here, the Gemara, first of all, the Gemara is saying over here that he'd be doing a mitzvah by marrying off his younger daughter. Mephoshim asked, what about, we learned at the beginning of the parak that a person is not supposed to marry off his daughter when he's a Ketana, until she's old enough to say, Roitzani. So the Rashba gives a couple of answers, one of them being that the Ketana over here could very well be a Naira as well. A Naira, there's no problem. Or he says also even with a Ketana, it doesn't have to be technically that she becomes a Naira. What the Gemara said over there, Achi Tigdal Batoma Roitzani, the Ploini Ani Roitza. As long as once she's old enough to say, I want to marry Ploini. So fine, once she's old enough, she can be even below Bas Mitzvah. She's still a Ketana, technically, but she's old enough to know who she wants to marry, and she's not going to be mamayin him afterwards. Then you could say that that's also, he's still fulfilling a mitzvah by doing that.
Have an obligation, more of an obligation to marry up to the Bulgarian, to the Gadol, or do you have to give a nod for that?
Well, he would have to give a nod, and it's true. But we're saying over here, the fact is he has more of a mitzvah to marry off the younger one for the reason Rashi brings the pasuk that's been esechem tnu la anoshim, which we learned earlier when you have the whole sugya of what parents are supposed to do for their children, that it involves giving her a nod, but there's more to do with that with a Ketana or a Naira, where he himself is given the ability by the Torah to accept kedushin on her behalf, than with the begeret, where it's just she made him a shliach.
Why is it a greater mitzvah to claim to marry his younger daughter then?
That's why, because there's an act, because the Torah actually empowers him to do that, whereas here it's only that she empowered him as a shliach. There is actually an interesting point that Mephoshim say, there's a difference whether the older daughter made him a shliach to be Mekadosh her to Ploini, to a specific person, or just to whoever he wants, whoever comes along. If she says Ploini, then there's a different matter. Chazaka shliach oitza shlichote. You have a chazaka, he being a shliach is going to fulfill the shlichot. Then we should assume if that Ploini comes along, then he was taka makadish her rather than her younger sister. However, here we're talking about where she just said, be makadish me to anybody who comes along, and you're my shliach for that. Then we would say that you have the chazaka that is going to do the mitzvah, which is more incumbent on him, but the Ketana or the Naira is the stronger one.
Because it's
a mitzvah on him. Because the mitzvah on him, and because she, because she anyway didn't specify which one.
What's the pasuk that says?
That's Mneseichem Tnu La Anoshim. Give your daughters to her husband, which we said of it. We learned, and then we learned back on Daf Lamed that it means that you have to provide her with the means to get married.
How do we know it's a Ketana, right?
Because the Torah tells us that a Naira is biti nasati leishazeh, applied to a Naira, and a Ketana, but not to a Begeret. Yeah. One last thing is they talk about. I mean, so what are we seeing? What are we seeing from the Gemara over here? He would rather marry off his younger daughter before the older one. What about the famous thing we all know that elder children are supposed to get married before younger, but are supposed to get married before younger ones? So there is a good deal of discussion about that. So that you know, that's not an absolute halacha, maybe, or you know, after all, there's a difference between. You know, they themselves maybe have an obligation to get married in that order, but the father himself maybe doesn't necessarily. Ramosha Feinstein actually has an interesting take on it. He says, Bechlal, this whole concept that we're all familiar with, that an elder child should get married before a younger child, he says, really, it only applies if both of them are about to get married, and the younger one wants to get married before the older one does, then yes, you shouldn't do that. Well, you also came in Pimenim, as Lavan says to Yaakov. If the older one